there, I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hello, everyone. Today, I'm speaking with Sarah Melissa Oswald. And I really love this lady because she's dedicated to building thriving communities and advancing a relational movement, right? She's the founding executive director of the nonprofit Relational Life Foundation. And this foundation provides accessible relationship-focused therapeutic services. She also hosts the podcast Facets of Connection, and she's passionate about combating the epidemics of loneliness and isolation by helping build stronger, more connected communities. I love this. You're going to enjoy Sarah. And if you're feeling lonely out there, stay tuned because we're going to jump right into it. Hi, everyone. As promised, I am with Sarah, and we're going to talk about relationships, loneliness, how we can have better connections. And I'm really happy that you're on. So thanks for joining me, Sarah.
It's really nice to meet you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to this because so many people as entrepreneurs kind of feel like they're an island, they're isolated, they're on their own. And so tell me a little bit about the journey of what brought you to where you are helping couples and individuals.
Sure. You know, it was a really roundabout way to get here. I didn't know I was going to end up doing this work, but over the course of my life, I was always drawn to relationships and groups. There's something really special about being a member who belongs to a collective. And I got to experience that throughout my childhood, whether it was on gymnastics teams or in theater groups or dance troupes. And as I got older, I realized I wanted to study environmental work. So I have a master's in environmental leadership from a Buddhist university.
Oh, wow, Buddhist university, that's awesome.
I ended up focusing on the leadership aspect and creating healthy, sustainable human environments. And I've just always been someone drawn to love. I can't help but fall in love everywhere I go because human beings are so beautiful. And it just became clear to me that that's a gift that I have that I needed to share with the world. And so there wasn't a clear path, you know, so creating my own business was the only thing that I could even imagine doing. I didn't fit into any particular mold, so I had to create my own.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. And I find that a lot of entrepreneurs end up in the same situation where, oh, but what I do isn't really a niche of what someone else's does. And that's what I think is beautiful about love and expansion. I mean, I think that, you know, we're all based in love anyhow. So I just love, no pun intended, that you're focused on that. But I think that when we're expressing love, we go our own unique ways, right? And you're a trailblazer.
Well, it seems like your whole audience base is a set of trailblazers doing something that's unique to them.
Yes.
And I love that.
So
there's room for all of us, right? If we're all following the very thing that we're here to do, there's room for everybody.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of life. If we were all doing the same thing, we would be so boring. Okay, so I'm intrigued about this Buddhist university. So I didn't even know that there was a Buddhist university. I sing in Sanskrit. I'm very much of the mystical side myself. Tell me about this university.
It's called Naropa University, and it's in Boulder, Colorado.
Did you grow up in Boulder?
I didn't. I grew up in Manhattan in the middle of New York City.
Okay. And so you ended up going to the university and you never left because you're still in Boulder.
I left. I went to California for a while, actually. Ah. But I recently returned to Boulder about 2 years ago, and this is home. Yeah, for sure. I've been here about 16 years now, on and off.
That's fantastic. So talk to me about the formation. You had the idea of what you wanted to do. How did that journey go for you? So you graduated from college, right? And then what happened?
I graduated with a master's. Let's start okay. there. And one of my teachers at Naropa University was teaching something called matrix works. She was teaching groups of people how to create human living systems and using living systems principles applied to groups. Mm-hmm. And it's a work that's rooted in Hakomi therapy, and which is a body-based psychotherapy. And I studied under her. She looked at me and she said, you need to come work with me. I want you to assist me in all my classes. And I helped run her business for 8 years. And I assisted in every single class that she taught for 8 years. And that really set me up to know how to help human beings in relationship. Mm-hmm. But when I realized I wanted to do couples work, I was so drawn to working with couples. That wasn't exactly what she was up to. And so I parted ways and went and started my own thing.
That's incredible. So with couples, what do you find is the friction or what do you find is the situation between them? Because I know we're all based in love, but we get stuck in the muck of our relationship, I know. Mm-hmm. How does it work, and what are they up against mainly?
Well, that is a really big question, I have to admit. Every couple thinks that they need help with communication skills. I hear that a lot. They want help with communication. But what they might mean can be, it runs the gamut. So some couples are dealing with early childhood wounding. Yeah, most of us are in some way or another.
Right.
And that sets us up to have patterns of relating that tend to that sabotage our romantic partnerships. And so we have to relearn how to parent our inner children mm-hmm. and be responsible for ourselves, not hoist our inner children off onto our partner to deal with. Mm-hmm. Some of us need to come out from behind walls and be willing to share more vulnerably. Some of us need to contain ourselves a little more and not, you know, just say everything that we're thinking. Yeah. So everyone's got a little something different here. But I went ahead and studied something called relational life therapy, which okay. teaches something that is this beautiful intersection of this. We call it the center of health, where you are boundaried. You're both protected and connected at the same time. You're protecting the world from you and yourself from the world, but you're also willing to be connected. And you're also looking at the vertical line of this grid that I'm talking about. It talks about grandiosity and shame. And it's the same energy of contempt. And so to be in the center of health, we know as human beings that we are not above or less than any others. It's just impossible to be better or worse than another. Mm-hmm. So we hold ourselves with warm regard, despite our human imperfections.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. A lot of people need to know that.
As I was looking at some of the questions you had proposed, that theme is present for me in my own journey as an entrepreneur, holding mm-hmm. myself in warm regard, despite my human imperfections. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knowing that I have worth and value. And no one can take that away from me. And trusting my inner voice, trusting my gut, not looking outside myself for answers, but knowing that I have what I need here.
Right. You have the whole toolkit inside. And I think a lot of people don't realize that for sure. They're not self-actualized. It's funny that you said communication, because every time that I see any type of in a corporate environment or any kind of business relationship, it's all about lack of direct communication, or communication that they don't understand what the other person is saying, or the other person is lashing out when they shouldn't be lashing out. But basically, I think it's lack of communication. Like they're not really saying do you think it's that they're not saying what they need to say, or that the person's not hearing what they said, or
All of it, right?
I couldn't tell you without more specific detail, right, of this particular scenario that you speak of.
Yeah.
I imagine a lot of people don't know how to communicate in a way that really gets them what they want in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe there's a whole other problem of not actually being able to hear hard feedback, you know?
Right, right. So what is your advice for someone who wants to ask for what they want and get what they want? Is that an easier question for you?
Yeah. I know that. You know, I think to have a truly great relationship, we need to be willing to risk it in some ways. And sometimes that means risking being more open, risking taking the opportunity to share my truth of my heart with my partner. And this could be a partnership, right? A romantic partnership, but this could also be true in work relationships or relationships with your children or parents or community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Being willing to speak up for yourself.
Right, right. And without the truth, you know, without the lash out or without the blame or, you know, just this is how I really feel, right?
And you can do that with respect for the other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's so much more we could get into if that's the theme of this conversation.
The theme flows however it flows. So, you know, yeah. I was going to ask you next if you talk about a client or someone that you had worked with and what happened with their journey and their story.
Huh.
Whoever pops into your mind.
In what specific scenario are you feeling like you'd like a story about? I mean, I have to be thoughtful about how I share about my clients for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. and you know, complete and anonymity. Yeah, that one. Maybe a business relationship. If you have one of those that you have helped.
Yeah. You know, I work with teams too. With business teams.
Okay.
And often what I love doing with business teams is helping each and every member of the team understand how their purpose in this world as an individual, a human being, aligns with the role they play for the organization. And I focus on that because I think it's really important that human beings have motivation that comes from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ask them first about what they know about themselves. What's their special gift? What are they here on this planet to do? Why were they drawn to this role in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
How does it light them up?
Do they know what their special gift is all the time?
Some more than others.
Yeah.
Not everyone does have that.
Right.
And so maybe we start there. And from that lens, I talk to teams about how diversity is essential to the health of their organization, to the health of any group of human beings. Mm-hmm. Diversity is essential. And what that means to me is that we recognize our differences as gifts to the whole. And yeah. Partners can work with that. Yeah. So my husband and I do things very differently. But thank goodness we do, because yeah. As a system, we're more well-rounded. And if I were trying to get him to do everything like me, it would set us up for failure. Mm-hmm. And that's true within ourselves. We have different parts. That's true within partnerships. And it's true within teams and communities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. The diversification. Otherwise, it'd just be boring anyhow. You know, you can't have all the same people doing the same thing, keep seeking the same things. Thank goodness we're all different. That's I love the expansion of contrast and having people think about things differently, for sure. Mm-hmm. Embrace that.
And then how do we get curious when someone is different in how they think, or, you know, they bring different tools to the table that we don't understand? Instead of judging, how do we bring curiosity? And I think that I would, that, you know, to go back to one of the earlier questions you had, like, curiosity would sum up a lot of my instruction for anyone looking to bring healthier relationships into their lives.
I
How do you
love
drop judgment
that.
And bring curiosity in?
I love that. In fact, one of my mentors, who's a associate minister here in San Diego, I love his viewpoint. Whenever someone's speaking with him, he's like, well, isn't that interesting? And he doesn't judge at all. You know, it's like, isn't that interesting? And so he's got that complete curiosity factor going on all through, you know, every time I've ever seen, been around him, he's got that open and receptive curiosity to see, well, you know, that's interesting. Why? Like, what do you think that, or how did you come about with that answer? I think it's fantastic that you acknowledge that everyone has their own strengths and that that's what builds a team. The purpose is the challenge for me, because it took me 40 years to figure out. I've been through 7 careers. It took me 40 years to figure out what I should do when I grow up. You know, what is Kathy here to do? And I finally found it. So I've been doing that for a while.
I've been through a few myself.
Yeah. You know, it takes a while, right?
Do you find that your careers have led you up to this moment? Do you find that you use the tools from different lives that you've lived?
Yes, yes, and yes, yes. The toolkit is where it's at. You know, I always say you're doing your dharma. If what you are doing right now, you could stand on your head asleep and still be doing it with efficiency and with, you know, doing it well, because it's all the tools that you bring, which again goes back to that unique, you know, the unique purpose. What are we here to do? And I think don't you agree that if you're doing what you're meant to do, it just flows, it's just easy, you know, and that's why you created your career as it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When I started my company, there was not a professional organizer who was also a stylist. It wasn't heard of, you know, there was nobody else doing it. And now, thank goodness, there's a lot of youngins that the artistic creative organizers are also doing personal style, which I think is fantastic. You know, so you just have to follow your heart for that. So
I agree with you, Kathy. I moved to share with you what my earlier career was, because it fits so well in a way.
Okay. Yeah.
I have an undergrad degree in theater.
Okay.
I spent my childhood in New York City performing in, you know, off Broadway, like children's theater. Like, I was performing my whole childhood. And so I studied theater in undergrad. And I quickly realized I wasn't going to spend my life auditioning. And so I said, I'll be a director. I'll stage manage. I became a lighting designer.
Okay.
I got into the technical scene. And I don't do that work anymore. The theater world wasn't as kind as I would have liked to see. Like, the more professional I became, the meaner the people became. And so I left and found a different path, but I still use those skills. I'm a wedding officiant. I don't know if you knew that. I've officiated.
No, I have as well.
Over 100 weddings at this point. And, you know, it requires my performing skills. It requires my stage management skills. I design ceremony. And then I also teach relationship skills throughout that. So I work with couples who are getting married to help set the stage for a successful partnership. And I lead community at the weddings to bring the collective around them in support of their union. And so all of the previous careers that I've had have led me up to this point, and I use all the skills.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing your dharma. That's always what I say, you know,
that feels true to me.
Together. Yeah. And if it feels just like, oh, that's who I am. Right. Yeah. I'm an officiant too. And it's all about, I don't know. It's just very interesting. The whole path that leads us here. And for you, it makes sense why someone would say, oh, you know, you create this amazing relationship, and then they're like, oh, you should like tie the knot for us, right? That makes total sense.
The work found me. There was 1 year, about 10 years ago, that 3 different couples asked me to marry them out of the blue. And it suddenly dawned on me that this is something I not only love to do, but that I'm really good at, and that it would tie so well with the couple's business that I was starting at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes total sense, right? But who would have ever thought that as well? Like, who would have dreamed up that part of your career.
I could never have imagined it. It would not have come to me if it had not been presented to me by the universe somehow, right? It got put in my lap.
That's
and I just said yes to it.
That is the universe for you, for sure. Yeah. So what's the most memorable part about your journey?
Well, as we're talking about this, there was a vision that just popped into my head of the third wedding ceremony I'd ever performed. I was leading a couple's canoe trip down Labyrinth Canyon in Utah, this gorgeous canyon, this the Green River, with these high canyon walls all around us. And we're weaving through this wild, you know, snake of a river through this canyon. We're the only ones out there, me and couples that were on this canoe trip, and my guide, who was the river guide. I was the relationship person on the trip, the facilitator of the group experience. And there was one couple on the trip who were about 60 years old. They were just kind of dating for they had been together a year or two, but they were having such fun on this adventure that they got engaged on the third day. And on day seven, we had a wedding ceremony for them in the canyon.
Amazing.
And everybody else on the trip became members of the wedding party. Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's fabulous. And what a wedding, what a scene, right? This whole setting.
The whole setting, the whole experience was just out of this world, really. Could not have planned that if I tried.
And it was recently enough that everybody had phones, so it was well documented.
It was well documented.
Everybody became the photographer for the wedding, right?
You bet. Yep.
I bet the guide will never forget that experience as well. You know, no one will ever forget that experience. That's fantastic.
Thanks. I'm still very close with the couple.
Uh-huh. I can see, definitely. I can totally see that. That's great. If you had to look back, okay, so you grew up in Manhattan, you were doing theater. If you would tell your 18-year-old self, okay, Sarah, what advice would you give her at this point? Looking back.
Slow down. Enjoy the journey. Slow down enough to really catch relationship with yourself. Catch relationship with others, slow it down. You know, I've been growing up in New York. It's in my blood. It's in my cells to move quickly.
Yeah.
And living in Boulder, attending a university, a Buddhist university, and studying Gestalt therapy, which is all very slow. Mm-hmm. It's taken me years, but I'm finally living at a pace that feels sustainable and nourishing and satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I look back at my 18-year-old self, I'd say, slow down. Don't miss it. There's so much right in front of your eyes.
And you don't speak very fast either. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, I find myself speaking very fast, but not from New York, but from the Midwest. Yeah, I agree. I think that's great advice. Just slow down and enjoy it. Savor it, you know?
Savor it.
Yeah. Savor it. That's why I'm a sailor, because it's all about the journey. You know, it's not about powering through the waters. It's
you just sail.
No matter where you go, you're going to be late. And it doesn't matter if there's wind, you know, maybe there's not wind. I mean, it's not all about that. It's just about being present on the water and with the intention of going somewhere.
I love that. You know, actually, as you say those words, it reminds me of parenthood. I have a 5-year-old son, and you're never on time to anything with a child. I'm on time to work and I'm on time to ceremonies. Don't get me wrong, but lesson of slowing down, and even if it's in these hard moments, even if there's crazy wind in my relationship with him, you know, he's a 5-year-old boy, so it's wild sometimes. But to just be present in it has been my biggest learning. And goodness, motherhood has taught me that more than anything else.
Absolutely.
As hard as it's been. Yeah.
Well, you do a lot of things. You have a lot of balls in the air, and you're continually busy. I have to ask you about your favorite organizing hack. What is it that you do that keeps your life in balance and organized?
Well, I would say two things that are really important to me. I start nearly every morning with a cup of coffee and my journal. And I carve out as much as I can. I carve out some silence for myself.
With a
And
5-year-old boy, that's not that easy. I
it's not been easy the last 5 years, I'll tell you that. But I look forward to resuming that practice in full,
Right.
more so in the coming years. But that has been my go-to, and it brings me peace as I start my day and helps me touch in with who I am and where I'm going and remember my bigger goals. Sometimes we get so lost in the details of, like, I have to do all these little things that we forget to zoom out and be aware of why we're doing the things that we're doing. And it helps me reorient and decide exactly how I'm going to spend that day. But the other thing I would say that's been incredibly helpful to me is having my own office space, a designated space that's just for work and not bringing work home with me. And
Absolutely.
that has been a hack for sure.
Yeah, you pretty much need to with a toddler anyhow, and with a young and running in, running out.
It's true.
I'll still never forget. As an aside, I'm doing a Zoom with a client, and this was during COVID, and she was a school teacher, and she was trying to teach school. But what happened was her little, I think a 3-year-old boy goes flashing behind her naked. So talking about a dedicated space. So we ended up making a, we took one of her sheds into a she shed, and that became her teaching facility at the time, so that she wouldn't have little naked boys running past her.
Yes, they do like to tear their clothes off, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I think everybody needs their own place. The man cave's been a thing forever, but there are more women that I work with that are creating the she cave. We all need our own space, and I think that's really, really important for balance and to have that moment of reflection, a moment of silence with ourselves, because it's our space. One of my clients, I have her, she actually has a do not enter sign on her office door for her granddaughter. And then, but her granddaughter tears it off, but now she knows she's not allowed to tear it off, nor is she allowed to come in the door. But creating those boundaries, I think, is so very important. Just for, mental health, let alone getting things done.
For mental health, absolutely. Yeah, but also getting things done. Like when I'm in this space here, I'm productive. And when I go home, I allow myself to drop that. I don't have to wear that hat all the time. And that is so important because I used to try to be productive at all times. And I was good at it, but it's not sustainable as a human being.
Yeah, you get burnout, and then you lose your mojo, you lose the passion of what you were doing to begin with. Yeah, it's all
You
about that
bet.
balance for sure. This is so helpful. If anybody is listening out there and they're just having some relationship hiccups and they aren't sure what to do, what would be the good first step for them to kind of find their way out of whatever discomfort they're in with the relationship they're in?
Again, it's such a broad question,
I
and
know.
it's hard to answer that for one particular individual, but I always bring it back to relationship with self. Slowing down enough to actually feel what's happening in my body. There's sensation in the body that is our clues, right? We hold emotion in our body. So if we can slow down enough to be in relationship with our own inner workings, I like to put a hand on my chest and a hand on my stomach and just check in. Oh, what's that feeling? Oh, is that, what are you anxious about? Oh, or what are you longing for today? And as I get practiced with being in relationship with myself, I know it seems so simple, but I bet you most of this world goes through, they go through life without actually being in contact with their inner being.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
I only know that because I'm guilty of it. Yeah.
Well, we all are at some point, you know, we're just like rushing through things, and not tapping into ourselves, you know. And I find also, you know, a lot of my women clients, they're more nurturing of other people than of themselves, you know. And I'm continually saying, have that time in the morning that's your time. If you don't have silence, just leave the house and walk for 5 minutes, you know. Worst word, just leave the house. Walk for 5 minutes. It's your time. Make sure that you carve out that 15 minutes that you can have some mommy alone, you know, some alone time without being a mommy.
Absolutely.
Or without having the husband say, where's my coffee? Or, you know, whatever the dynamic is of the morning relationship. So that's fantastic advice, Sarah. I'm with you on that 100%.
Well, if we are in touch with ourselves, then we can reach out and become involved in life in a way that feels grounded and true. And so whatever relationship struggles a particular person might be in, I'd say come back to self first. Mm-hmm. Start there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of training I've been in, you know, over the years, it's like, there's nothing wrong with being selfish. In fact, being selfish is the best thing you can do for the world, is to take care of yourself. And then you're going to bring your best self forward.
Mm. You know, my last podcast episode, someone said that something similar, that we human beings rarely do anything that's not selfish. And I've had to think about that. But even if we're doing good for others, it brings joy to us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we all do. Mm-hmm. But we don't realize it oftentimes, which is what's interesting to me. Back to that self-reflection. Mm-hmm. Some people don't take the time to stop to self-reflect. And so that's fabulous. Sage advice, Sarah. I can tell you've been doing this for a while.
Thanks, Kathy. I love
it. So I know that you have something, possibly you have something that you'd like to offer the audience. What might that be?
Well, I would say the best place to dive deeper into this stuff that I'm talking about is to check out my podcast. It's called Facets of Connection.
Yes.
Like facets of a cut stone. You know, we all have so many parts to ourselves, mm-hmm. and every relationship that we're in brings out a different element in the individual. So facets of connection to me means that we develop relationship with many in the community, real relationship, and that we become more whole and beautiful human beings because of that. And so I'm interviewing people from all walks of life about how respectful, healthy relationship is actually central to everything that we're doing as human beings.
Love it. Absolutely. I will put the link in the show notes. And if you're listening, it's facetsofrelations.com.
Facetsofconnection.com.
Facetsofconnections.com. Mm-hmm. And I will definitely put that down in the show notes. Please listen to her podcast. And, you know, it's been a real pleasure. I love how grounded you are and the work that you do. And I think Boulder is a good place for you, my friend. Yes.
Thanks, Kathy. I do too.
Yeah, absolutely. We love it. Well, until next time, you guys, check out your relationship. Check in with yourself. If you're feeling a little bit ill at ease, as Sarah says, go ahead and check in with yourself and see what it is that's possibly not resonating with you, and come up with some resonance. Yes.
I'll also say this, Kathy. I have a private practice working with individuals and couples. Anyone out there is welcome to contact me. I offer free consultations, and I do 1 hour intro. That's just a one-off session for someone to get a sense of me and to do a deep dive into their relationship with self and relationship with the world. So that is at leadyourlovelife.com.
Love it. I will also put that down in the show notes. Thanks. So look, gang, you guys have some work to do from listening to this podcast. Go ahead and check in with yourself. See where you're feeling any bumps or things that aren't feeling right for yourself, and start there. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. Until next
Thanks
week.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh yeah. This is a great conversation. And, yeah, you've been enlightening. Thank you so much for your wisdom and for your gentle spirit. Mm-hmm. I can see how you'd make a great officiant.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Okay, you guys, until next week, we will see you then. Meanwhile, go out, have some fun, and smell the roses, savor, slow down, enjoy the ride, because that's what it's all about. I'll see you then.
Take care, Kathy.
Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.